This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So a lot of people want to see me fail, and that ain't gonna happen.
What is that?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And for Shedeur Sanders, the first passing touchdown of his career.
On today's show, complete Week 12 recap, Monday night preview, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, The Rich Eisen Show is on the air, everybody. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone lines are lit, but there are a couple that are not. So you can get in while the getting is good. We're going to take your calls. Once again, we're guestless on a Monday because there's just so much to talk about. We already hit some of the big games that happened on Sunday with the Chiefs saving their opportunity to win their division and improving their chances of making the playoffs as a wild card if they don't win the division by coming back from a 20-9 deficit, taking the Colts to overtime and beating them, which opens up the AFC South a little bit more for the Texans and the Jaguars. And we'll talk about that. We also hit on the Bears. We really haven't taken the Steelers side of things, which we will. We also hit on the Cowboys coming back on the Philadelphia Eagles and the Rams being the best team in football, and news of Baker Mayfield maybe having just a sprained AC joint, fingers crossed there for the Buccaneers. In advance of tonight's Monday night game in San Francisco between the Panthers, who have a massive opportunity to put a card on the table and say, we are a force to be reckoned with, and we're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers and put a crimp in their playoff plans while improving ours. That's on the ESPN family of networks this evening to wrap up week dozen and get us ready for Thanksgiving week, chock full of important contests. We say hello to the Disney Plus ESPN app audience that's watching us live. And of course, there's the ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and Sirius XM Channel 80 audiences in our podcast as well. Overreaction Mondays in the books. That podcast already recorded. Let's get to it. It finally happened. Shedeur Sanders started a football game for the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When it took forever for Shedeur Sanders to hear his name called in a craziest three-day stretch of a draft involving one single player that I can ever remember that we'll ever see again, that also included him being pranked and all that crazy stuff, never thought in a million years that in relation to Shedeur Sanders starting, we'd hear his father's name, obviously, right? And we'd hear the name of whichever quarterback he was taking the job from, or at least needed to take the job for that Sunday because of the quarterback not being available or benched. It's Dylan Gabriel not being available due to a concussion. Joe Flacco being sent away, just like Kenny Pickett. Never thought we'd hear the name of Eric Zier, that's for sure. But he was the last quarterback the Cleveland Browns started, and he wound up a winner in his first career game for Bill Belichick back in 1995. It was such a stunning set of circumstances. They closed the franchise in Cleveland. It moved. Wait a minute. I'm being told there were other reasons. Okay. But there's Shador out there, and of all places, Las Vegas, Nevada, where Kenny Pickett is standing on the sideline with an earbud.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people thought the Raiders, needing a backup for veteran Geno Smith, or at least a plan for down the road, would draft Shador. Of all places, for Shador Sanders to get the start. And he does. And, you know, early on, not making the mistakes. And the good news is they got another rookie in a very, very good draft for the Cleveland Browns named Quinshon Judkins. Good idea to give him the football, right? Don't you think?
Man, he's so tough.
And touchdown for him. And so now Shador can play with a lead. That's what you need. You need him to play with a lead. And he does. But at one point in this game, early on, Isaiah Bond, who again, the Cleveland Browns took when few others would for different reasons. He goes deep. Shador Sanders rolls to his right and uncorks the throw on the run, jumping in the air. That was the Rick Dalton gif. There it is, right there. That's what he can do. That's what he can do, right there. From Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Right there. There it is. Right there. That's not what Dylan Gabriel could do or Flacco could do or Pickett could do or anybody else on that roster at any point in this season could do. That's what he can do. Right there. Bond jumps for the ball. If he just not jumped for it, maybe that would have been Shador's first career touchdown pass rather than the throwing it down the line of scrimmage to, I love this, Samson, since Dion always likes to use some analogies from
the good book.
The good book. Although this Samson spelled with a P. And he just takes it 66 yards for the distance. But in a similar play call, and again, I love the kid. I love Dylan Gabriel. He came on the show. He couldn't have been nicer. Dylan Gabriel had a similar throw, rolling to his left and throwing back to his right in one of his starts and airmailed it. Shador threw a beautiful pass all the way across the field, and Samson did the rest for Shador's first career touchdown. And then, speaking of doing the rest, I said it on our Overreaction Monday podcast, so I'll repurpose it, if you will, here. Maybe it's the first time you're hearing this. But in Las Vegas, the horror movie analogy is in relation to the Vegas rookie running back's pre-snap stance, right? The Jason stance for Ashton Jeanty. Stand up tall. That's what he does. Unless Chip Kelly says don't, and then they're like, screw it. Do whatever you want. Yada, yada, yada. Somebody's not there anymore.
Ain't got to worry about that.
So, but the calls coming from within the house, the horror movie analogy of anybody who watches a horror movie and you're wondering, why are you doing what you're doing? Because we all know that's the guy with the axe. You don't want to do that because the person's coming for you with the axe. The Grim Reaper was in Las Vegas, Nevada yesterday.
Boy, oh boy.
Okay. Proving that F1 wasn't the only fastest individuals in that city. Miles friggin' Garrett.
Just look at the muscles on that guy.
It doesn't look real.
It doesn't look real. You're like a real person.
It doesn't look real. Oh, it's real. That was all Shador not making the mistakes. He did make mistakes, but making the plays that were necessary, hitting Samson in stride or perfectly so he was able to get in stride, and then hitting Bond and then not making mistakes, letting Judkins do his thing. Enough for Myles Garrett. 3 sacks. Third game in the last 4 weeks with at least 3 sacks. Through 11 team games since sacks were recorded in 1982. By the way, what were they doing before 82?
Right.
When quarterbacks were getting taken down, right?
Hey, Deacon Jones has a lot of those.
But I think Deacon Jones came up with the term of sack didn't he have a job in a grocery store because guys back in the day had to have second jobs or something like that? I don't know if that's a wives' tale or not, to use the phrase. That he would just bag up quarterbacks, sacking them. Myles Garrett, since the sack rate began to be a stat in 1982, he now has 18 through the first 11 team games. That beats Mark Gastineau's mark of 11.5 in 1984. And Mike Del Tufo, before you were taking credit for the K-corner as a Mets fan.
Yes.
That you never were.
I know.
That is what gave birth to the New York Sack Exchange. I had a poster of the New York Sack Exchange when I was a kid of Gastineau, Klecko, Abdul Salam, and Marty Lyons. You know, it's interesting. Jason Garrett leads the league in sacks with 18.
Myles Garrett.
What did I say? Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett leading the league in sacks.
Let me try and save this. It'd be interesting. By the way, that's where you play the slow Sports Center theme.
Yeah.
Whenever I make a mistake. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be that guy. Myles Garrett, pardon me. I'll applaud for him. His 18 sacks right now leads the league. You know his second with 13 sacks is Myles Garrett in the last 4 weeks.
Strahan yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, he basically said goodbye to his sack.
I don't blame him because...
it should have never been his in the first place. Well, TJ Watt should be saying goodbye.
Yeah, nice. But Strahan in that sack record season had the record of most sacks over a five-game span, 12.5. Garrett's now got 14 over his last five. Yeah.
I mean, he's had a game with 5, 4, and he had 3 on Sunday.
So that's enough. That's enough to come up with a W against a team in Vegas that can't protect the quarterback and can't put it all together for four quarters, or is struggling to do so right now. And Shadur is, in fact, the first Browns quarterback to win in his first career start since the franchise reconstituted in Cleveland in 1999. And we know there's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of them, too. That hope was poured into that obviously didn't pan out. But this is what Shadur said after the game to the CBS broadcast.
Win is crazy. It's amazing, you know. Off of 1 week of practice, you know what I mean? This 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know, what a full offseason looked like. It get dangerous. But it's just a 1 week of practice. So I'm just truly thankful, you know, that everything happened.
So... I'm glad he threw the humble part in at the end.
Well, right off,
you know, when the Sanders was showing through, because otherwise that would just light up half of, you know, the TV shows that precede us every single day. Wait a minute, I'm told it did anyway. My bad. He had this to say after the game as well. Which one are we playing first, Mr. Hoskins? Oh, it's just his general thoughts at the podium.
Everybody starts different places, and like I say, just because I didn't get the summer reps, you know, just because I wasn't in the best situation, for me to be prepared to go out there and execute, like from a summer standpoint, that's how life is. You know, everybody's not in the best situation, you know, but it's no excuse. You got to go out there and perform, like. There's no choice, there's no question. Nobody cares if this was 1 week of prep. Who cares? You know? So a lot of people want to see me fail, and it ain't going to happen. You know? It ain't going to happen.
At least full Game of Thrones. Not today. Not today. Of course he made some rookie mistakes. He made the ups and downs. Of course we saw it. It wasn't a perfect game. But he did what he needed to do with the support of his teammates to come up with a win for Cleveland. And... was humble in the process, asked if he had a chip on his shoulder.
No, I was a fifth-round pick. I got skipped by everybody at least 5 times. So it's not it just come with the game. You know, it is what it is. But I'm just thankful for where I am now. You know, I don't – everybody have their differences. They have their – but I still got an opportunity to play, so why could I be mad? You know, money different, but thankfully I have a good family, you know, so it is what it is. We're not playing for that. We're playing for the love of the game. So I'm just thankful to be out here, have an opportunity, be able to go and play. Go out there and play. Go out there and start. Like, you don't know how surreal, you know, that feeling is, knowing that you have the responsibility of the Browns organization on your shoulders, you know. Having all the fans, you know. Everybody in here arguing with each other online and everything. Everybody have their differences about me. It is what it is.
I don't know how you don't like that kid, man.
I'm with you, Teach.
I mean, they act like Deion. They say, well, they hold against his dad like Deion was some type of pariah. Deion was one of the most popular NFL players of all time, right?
Yep.
He backed it up on the field. He backed it up on a diamond. He backed it up in commercials and selling shoes. So I don't understand this thing where, like, they're holding it against his dad.
He also told a story about how I grew up in a 30,000. He told a story at the podium about he grew up in a 30,000 square foot house, but his dad always took them to, you know, more disadvantaged parts of the town to let them understand the way that people live. And again, the whole reason why he went so long as he did is everybody thought, well, Deion is just going to helicopter dad this whole situation. And all he did was just get a spot up in a suite with
Constance,
who is the best. And also, did you see the smoke?
Oh, I saw Matt I did see Jackson up there, too. He was sitting on it.
Anyway, so and did he hold a press conference afterwards, Deion? Hugged it out with his son, and then went off to finish his season in Colorado with at least something good happening in the Sanders family on the football field there. And I'll tell you this, speaking of Browns fans, what he's done is he's given a little bit of hope. Just a little bit of hope. Yeah. So Kevin Stefanski, after the game, asked about, what about next?
You feel like he's earned the opportunity to start.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, Chris. Obviously, you know, proud of him and proud of this offense, and there are a ton of things to learn from, but I'm just going to, you know, worry about today.
Come on! Come on, Kevin! Come on! 49ers are coming into your house next week! Come on! You want to see what fifth-round pick can do against Mr. Irrelevant? Short week with the Niners coming all the way east! Let's go. Let's see what he can do again.
Can't tell me the fan base doesn't want this.
Come on. Well, you don't coach for the fan base.
I know, but you coach for your, yeah.
And I will say this, you know, the whole sabotaging this, and we were saying, like, it sure looks like they didn't want him and all of that stuff, not getting reps. You know, Ian Rappaport has at a report on Sunday game day morning that they had something called a dogs period or something like that. I should have gotten the name right. I wasn't thinking I was going to talk about it. But he had a special period for all the young players who weren't getting snaps, like 10 to 12 snaps just for these guys. And Shador was part of him. So he was getting some snaps, some reps, just with his fellow, you know, youngins that couldn't get the reps with the regulars because that's just the way things work. So it's not like that they cast him aside, weren't paying attention to him.
But he had to get work on his own. What was the story Mooch told yesterday?
Well, Mooch told a story that he wasn't working with the scout team early on when Flacco was still there, and he was kind of surprised about that. But he also then,
learned that there were
other periods that Stefanski was creating and then having meetings with Shador as if he was the starting quarterback. So he wasn't neglecting him. But I don't know what the – unless you're one of those old school guys, like you don't lose your job due to injury or anything like that. But let's just see what he can do to follow up. You're not saying anything, which means you don't agree?
You know, they won a game against maybe the worst team in the league.
Understood.
Take out the two long plays. He was 9 of 18 for 91 yards and interception. He had a 9 QBR. I mean, it was a great win. They won the game, which is what he's supposed to do.
But you heard what which is all I said. But I did ask for your 2 cents. You wouldn't want to start him again just to see where it goes next.
I mean, look, you're going nowhere
this
season.
You're three and eight. So and you've got all this, and you got Deshaun Watson there next year.
The 49ers have proven defensively that you can throw on them.
Let's go.
So sure,
give him another week.
I did find it interesting that in the red zone down on the goal line, he came out of the game,
and they ran
Wildcat with Quishon Judkins. That was kind of interesting.
Try something else, man.
Yeah, you're just trying to get a win. I mean, Stefanski is coaching.
He found Jerry Jeudy wide open. And Jeudy, what was he doing?
I put that on Twitter.
Was that hop, skip, and a jump?
He thought he was Le'Veon Bell for a second. Like, he's just hopping and like, what are you?
I don't know.
I think if you're Stefanski, you're really coaching for your job. So you should be trying everything to save it.
If you're Kevin Stefanski, are you also saying that giant job doesn't look too bad either?
I think he might want to get fired to go to New York.
I'm just wondering, giant job. Hey.
So,
that's not bad.
Go Big Blue.
But I also say this as someone unapologetically, I'm rooting for Shador. Maybe Cleveland isn't the right place for him.
It doesn't seem like it's the right spot for anyone who plays quarterback.
Yeah, so I also wouldn't mind seeing him going somewhere else and getting a shot.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
Although
like the team he beat on Sunday.
I didn't mean to go John Travolta there. With the shot.
With the shot.
With the shot. With the shot.
You know. The Raiders are going to need a quarterback next year.
Judkins, Sampson, Fannin, Schlesinger.
They really hit on their rookie class.
Dude. Yeah, they did. Who knows? Maybe they can turn it around.
Nice.
Should have saved that for Wednesday.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll take your phone calls, talk about the Raiders and more, and so much for the Steelers leading that division, huh? The Ravens have officially, in fact, run them down. That's next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we know that during the holiday season, every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to the phone lines here. Dark Side Don in Las Vegas, Nevada, I think needs a hug. What's up, sir?
How you doing? How's everybody? Chris, Brockman, how's everybody?
What up, man?
Doing?
What's up, bro? Hey,
we're good. Thank you. Having? Appreciate good? Your calling in.
PJ, I didn't forget about you.
Say hi to Mike. Don? Say hi to Mike. We what can't forget him. Dark Side.
Don't forget Tufo, him. How you doing? How you doing?
What's happening, my brother? How you doing? Good?
Okay. So, Rich, I respect your expertise, sir.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay.
something off the last year, sir, because it's been 20-plus years, and I've been a Raider fan since 82, and I'm tired.
I bet.
I'm tired, man. Right now, you guys are broadcast on Raider Nation Radio here in Vegas. So
yes, sir.
This morning, the whole conversation has been about Chip, of course, how much authority, quote-unquote, he had on the offense.
Yes.
The JPJ issue about competition and him only being the one in competition. Nobody else on the team, for some odd reason, is in competition. But, yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, again,
I've seen AP get fired because of an OC. I've seen Josh McDaniels get fired for numerous reasons. But did Pete lose it? Just tell me.
No, I don't think he's lost it. I don't think he's lost it. If you're saying to me that Chip Kelly was stunting competition within the roster and didn't want to play people or any of that, that runs completely counter to all of Pete Carroll's mantras. That it doesn't matter where you are in the roster. If you're good enough to play, always compete. That's why Pete's gotten to the precipice of the Hall of Fame. They cannot protect him. 10 sacks.
That's my point. That's what I was going to get to. So you had JPJ. I'm sorry if I'm loud, but I'm
no good.
You had JPJ. All season, you've been having him compete at the guard position. Now, remember, he came into the season as center. You had him competing for a guard position, only for the guy that he was competing against to allow 3 sacks or however many, only for the guy that he was competing against to be on the offensive line that allowed 10 sacks yesterday. 10. I'm not understanding what the Raider process has been for the last 20-plus years.
Well, wouldn't you agree, Darkside Dom, wouldn't you agree that it isn't in line for a full rebuild? You know what I mean? Like the roster needs, and again, they need to protect the quarterback. Geno Smith looks less than the quarterback that you never wrote back when everyone wrote him off. But I think anybody's going to look that way if they are not protected. And I appreciate the call, Darkside Don. Thank you. I'm giving you a hug through the screen. Everybody's going to look bad if you cannot protect. Now, the all 22 folks on the socials are showing the like two-man routes that they're running, where they're just running straight down the field when Myles Garrett is coming for their quarterback. Just two guys out in the route. That's it, because everyone else is into max protect, and it's just two guys running straight. You see that on film, and it's like, damn right you're going to tell the offensive coordinator, hand in your playbook. We're done. And, Pete fired his special teams coordinator, Tom McMahon, after the Week 10 loss in Denver, where they came so close, but lost because of a blocked punt, gave Denver field position. And that's the first time that Pete ever fired an assistant in the middle of a season in his entire career, and he's done it now twice in a span of 2.5 weeks, which is the sign of somebody usually, thinking that something has to be done because his job could be on the line. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. As I said yesterday, last week, it still stands today. What does Tom Brady think? He's sitting there calling Eagles, Cowboys. He's looking up at the screen during a commercial break, and he sees an update. Oh, my goodness, it's 23-3. Cleveland's up by 20 points on us. That's it? What does it sit there and he thinks? Does he look at the film on the way back home? On his flight back home. I have no idea how involved he is, because it really is, I'd imagine, from Mark Davis. Hey, Tom, what do you think we should do? Because this was the plan. The GM from your Michigan ties and your Tampa Bay ties. Doesn't help that Jacoby Myers scores a touchdown for the, 7-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. When you're struggling to get anything going on. Brock Bowers, his numbers are less than because he got hurt in week one. Ashton Gentry, we're waiting for him to have multiple breakout games this year, but you can't protect. You can't do anything. How can you evaluate? I don't know what the answer is. At one and dunning Pete Carroll, is that the answer in Las Vegas, Nevada? Starting from scratch again?
Yeah, that's a whole new rebuild, right?
What are we talking about? So we'll see what the last 6 weeks looks like. Greg Olsen, the quarterback coach, not the announcer. Wouldn't that be something? Tom Brady hires Greg Olsen out of the booth.
O-L-S-O-N.
Yes.
Not E-N.
He's now the new OC. And Vegas's next game is at the Chargers. And you know that's basically a home game for Raiders fans, habitually. And then they're home for Denver, at Philadelphia, at Houston. Good Lord, with a game against Kansas City to finish up after they take on a Giants team in Vegas. There's a lot of losses sitting out there unless they can pull it together. But they got to protect. They got to protect. It's that simple.
That's where it all starts.
Or somehow figure out a way to get Ashton. I'm wondering if Greg Olsen's going to, like, this kid is going to touch the ball 25 times. Hell or high water.
He's been a lot more involved in the receiving aspect of the game. He did have 8 catches, I think, yesterday.
Well, I mean, can you run the ball appropriately if you're getting hit behind the line?
No.
Perfect example. The Next Gen Stats had Jonathan Taylor hit behind the line of scrimmage in 62.5% of his carries yesterday. Yada, yada, yada. He didn't do anything. Yeah. Let's go to David in Minnesota. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, David?
Dave.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Appreciate y'all for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for calling in.
It's actually the last caller goes right into pretty much what I'm talking about with J.J. McCarthy currently at the Vikings. And
can't protect him either.
They cannot protect him at all, and this game is clearly one in the trenches. I love the fact that you guys are on board with all that. But the concerns I'm having, though, is that his efficiency is, you know, some of it's got to be on J.J. And
yeah, I hear
his numbers are rapidly moving towards the Josh Rosen, Nathan Peterman's.
No, I know. Jamarcus Russell, you know, there's a stat I saw that it's right around there, too.
Yep. I believe the one you're mentioning, I think it was out of 852 quarterbacks, he's 851st in EPA since 2000, only beating out Jamarcus Russell. I'll get to the point here, though.
Sure.
And that's two-parter. One, at what percentage of the responsibility falls on J.J. Versus, you know, the carousel he's had at offensive line, the lack of running game? And then two, if he does continue on this trajectory, you know, he's got to start the rest of the season, but do you start looking at a veteran quarterback? And how many weeks next year do you give J.J. on that leash if he's not showing?
All great questions. Thanks, do not know the answer to them. I don't know what's inside Kevin O'Connell's brain. I do know Kevin O'Connell came on this very show and said that habitually organizations fail young quarterbacks before it's the other way around. Is it possible he's thinking that this isn't working out? I don't know. I am not in the meeting rooms. It would greatly surprise me if McCarthy's not grasping what he's being told. And again, obviously, I am biased because this guy won me a national championship. And you can't just win national championship with guys that are totally clueless when you're playing for Jim Harbaugh. It doesn't help that he's like calling himself by his number, nickname, and then, you know, he's like an uncorked bottle of wine, and people are it gives people license to start making significant fun of you. That, and also basically say you can't talk your way into it or your way out of it, David. So trust me, I'm surprised with the struggles of it, but offensive line is not protecting him. That's part of it. And you know, other part of it is he's airmailing people. But in between it, I don't know how closely you guys watch the game, but he made one throw over the Packers defender. I think it was to Justin Jefferson, that when he let it go, it went through like four pairs of Packers hands, just right over them, right into the hands of his receivers. It's in there, man. It's in there. They just need to find it more and then just understand, like, the rest of the team. And kudos to also Justin Jefferson. He hasn't gone on anybody's Twitch feed and bitched and moaned. He hasn't
I'm sure he's doing it behind the scenes.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's
maybe
fine, he though. He's not taking it public.
But he's not taking it to the streets.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, David.
Maybe he should.
I don't know how that would be helpful. How would that be helpful? I mean, you don't think you've met J.J. McCarthy. He's as mindful as they come. You don't think he hears all this stuff and it doesn't weigh on him? And it certainly, since, you know, the other two quarterbacks that were on the roster last year that they let go or walk or couldn't sign because they thought They didn't want to back up McCarthy or look over their shoulder and see when are they going to put the kid in here. Have 16 combined wins right now. 8 each for Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones. I don't have the answer for you, but I do know it's distressing. And the, you know, one of the numbers I saw too is that the passer rating that he had yesterday of 34.2 is worse than if a quarterback took every snap in a game and spiked it. So these numbers do not help.
It's like getting 200 points for writing your name on the SAT.
Right. So, you know, it does not help, but I do know they have the right coach. They just got to get some better protection. And we've seen it. We've seen it in fourth quarters. We've seen it in comebacks. It's his first division road loss of his career.
But didn't
he's won his two previous ones.
They spent the whole offseason beefing up the offensive line. So it's odd that they.
Well, at least this next week, he'll have a nice. JJ will have a nice easy one without any comparisons to what they used to have. Wait a minute, they're at Sam Darnold. Okay, so it's going to ratchet up significantly, and that defense is so marauding it makes the Green Bay defense that they just struggled against look like the proverbial cheesehead with holes in them. So, right? So I think the last time Seattle played at home was the one where DeMarcus Lawrence had two returns for scores before halftime. It's not looking good, but this would be a good time for to suddenly surprise everybody and come up with a big win. Season saving and also reputation saving, because it's taking a beating right now, and I don't like it. Because it's Ohio State week, and I want to be positive. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the show. There is news about Joe Burrow's readiness for Thanksgiving. We'll get to that next right here on the Rich Eisen Show with the NFC, the AFC North now coming into a little bit clearer of a picture. It's going to be a Donnybrook for the rest of the way. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They make the claims process easy so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays are all about connection, and Sonos speakers make every moment sound amazing. Imagine your favorite playlist flowing from room to room, movie nights that feel like the theater, or the big game filling your living room with stadium-quality sound. Whether it's a gift for someone you love or a little to-me, from-me moment, Sonos is the perfect gift that brings high-quality sound to every room. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays, perfect time for you to check out the Sonos family of products. Imagine, again, your favorite playlist flowing from room to room with all the holiday music going on, or with all the big games going on in the holiday season. You feel like your living room so filled with stadium quality sound makes you feel like you're in the actual stadium. It is that real. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Oh, yeah. They're awesome. Sonos is the perfect gift that brings high-quality sound to every room, whether it's a gift for someone you love or a little to-me, from-me type moment. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on right now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos.
All right, I'm on there right now.
You should do it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's go to Dylan in Vancouver, Canada. What's up, Dylan?
Good morning, Rich Eisen.
How are you, Dylan, in Vancouver?
Well, Rich, as a Colts fan, I've spent this season biting my tongue, holding off calling into the show.
Uh-oh.
The national media was saying no one could have predicted this run, and my win-loss game was sitting on your desk. It was chalk through Canadian Thanksgiving, eh?
Oh,
you want to help us Americans? When is Canadian Thanksgiving?
It was about week six. But here,
okay.
On this Overreaction Monday,
okay.
Rich Eisen.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chalk through week six, Dylan in Vancouver. What do you want to get off your chest now?
I am issuing a warning to all Colts fans. Call it a PSA for Miss Irsay.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts are not winning the AFC South.
No, you, Brockman
and
loves your
Rich,
the cut of your jib.
They just booked their ticket to the first wild card game on Saturday versus the Baltimore Ravens.
We're assuming the Colts still make the playoffs.
Well, if so, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Dylan. Let me help you out a little bit here because I've been around the block a few times here in the National Football League. If the Colts are on the road, that means they don't win the division, which means somebody else does in the AFC South, correct? Because the AFC South will have to award a division winner.
By rule, you have correct. To award a division.
That will be
that
up Trevor in Jacksonville.
That will be the first playoff game of Wild Card Weekend, sir. Let's not kid one another. That 100% is going to be. Although the year that Doug Peterson and the Jaguars made it against the Chargers, that was a night game, was it not? That was a night game.
It was.
Okay, so it's not all cookie cutter. Listen, Dylan, the rubber's meeting the road. I mean, this was, and please check out Overreaction Monday, the pod. It's out there. It's up there. It's in there. I like it. We're here. You're there. It's wide open because the Jaguars have yet to play the Colts, and the Texans have yet to play the Colts.
Circle week 17, Rich.
Okay.
That's when we find out if what's up, Trevor.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah. Well, the Colts have Houston at home next week. And
what's
then
up, Trevor?
They go to Trevor 2 weeks later. So, by the way, what's more all over the map than a guy from Vancouver wanting to talk AFC South football?
Hey, that's
literally all over the map. So, the AFC South is absolutely wide open. Jacksonville coming up with a win in Arizona, despite four turnovers by Trevor Lawrence. The last time the Jaguars won a game with Trevor Lawrence turning it over that many times was the aforementioned overtime, the playoff game.
Yep.
Against the Chargers. When everyone's like, Peterson's got to pull him, right? He's got to pull him, right? He's got to bench him, right? Nope.
Kind of felt like it.
I know.
Man, that was wild.
You know, but the Colts coming off that loss, that's two out of three. The only one that they won in that span over the last month with their bye week included was the win in Berlin that Jonathan Taylor just scored again. And Houston, that defense is all over the place. That is going to be a tough game in Indianapolis. Tough game. Honorary Captain T.J. Yates will be there, I believe.
Started one of those playoff games. And
yes, sir. I'll never forget that game.
The Bengals.
Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
Thursday Night Football. I interviewed Jim Irsay. May he rest in peace. He was kind enough to come on NFL Network and give us an interview that everybody wanted because we were all wondering, are you going to keep Peyton Manning? Because you have a chance at Andrew Luck right now with Peyton and that neck injury, and you have a decision to make. And he basically said, we love Peyton, and we don't know what's going on around here. Stay tuned. And Reggie Wayne was also a free agent. And all I know is I was there with Irv, Marshall, and Mooch watching Dan Orlovsky hit Reggie Wayne for a touchdown to win that game, and everyone's going nuts in their gamers because everybody wears a gamer at Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
And we were looking down like, you guys might have just cost yourselves Andrew Luck. What are you celebrating? Yada, yada, yada. They got Luck anyway, and they signed Reggie Wayne. Never know what's going to happen. T.J. Yates started that game for a Texans team that had already wrapped up the AFC South. You never know in that division, man, is the general sense.
Wild.
Thanksgiving night, Bengals and Ravens. Man, it sure would have helped the Bengals to have had Joe Burrow yesterday. But with him coming back from his toe injury, even though we were like, RES Consulting, we put our reputation on the line. Not good for RES Consulting. No. We're like, this guy's playing. Yeah. And Zach Taylor's like, no, he's not. Because I guess they're like, with his toe being surgically repaired, 2 games in 5 days, no thanks. We'll just save him up for the Ravens. We'll try and get past the Patriots with Joe Flacco. What ends up happening is Flacco throws a ball for T. Higgins, hoping for the best. Higgins comes down. He's hurt. He's now out of the Thanksgiving game. So is Trey Hendrickson. Oof. He's now out. Ja'Marr Chase, though, is coming back. And so, does it appear, is Joe Burrow.
I anticipate him playing, but we'll continue to work through the week. I'm not going to declare that definitively. Work through the week, coming off an injury. He's done everything he could. He put himself in a position to do his best to play yesterday. And we'll continue with that mindset. But he looks like he's in good shape right now. He'd be ready to go.
Okie dokie. Oof. Okie dokie. Ravens are like, you sure? You know,
just say one more week. I mean, it's
fine. Sure. We wouldn't mind Joe Flacco coming back here as a starting quarterback for an Ohio team for the second time this year. Because that happened, as we all know, in week 2, and it did not go well for Cleveland. As a matter of fact, it was the only win the Ravens had in their first 6 contests this year, and they have now won 5 in a row. With Lamar Jackson not looking very good, to be very honest with you, second time in a row he had no touchdown passes. By the way, wound up guillotining you and me because I took him from your team.
Oh, and you getting...
It's not looking good. As a matter of fact, it's 100%.
Oh, no, Rich is out.
Chopped like broccoli.
Mm. Oh, kind of stinks, don't it?
Not great.
Broccoli. You know, the text chain.
I'll still be on it. I don't mind responding. Listen, the Ravens have run it down 5 in a row now. They have, in fact, because they're 2-0 in division, having beaten the Browns twice. That 2-0 is better than the 2-1 in division for the Steelers because the one time Joe Flacco won as the quarterback for the Bengals in support of Joe Burrow in his 6 starts. He's 1-5 since the Bengals took a shot at acquiring him from Cleveland, thinking he's better than Jake Browning. The Steelers lost that game. They're 2-1 in division. So both at 6-5 now, the Ravens enter Thanksgiving night against the Bengals in first place in the AFC North. John Harbaugh had this to say after, you know, they're not hanging this in the Louvre, if you will, after beating the Jets with Lamar Jackson having 0 touchdown passes for the 2nd straight game.
Utmost confidence in Lamar Jackson. You know, he's well. He's my guy. He's our guy. He's our quarterback. And Lamar's doing what he needs to do. You know, he's winning football games. And, you know, it's not always pretty. I don't know how many times in the last however many years we've had wins like this where we've gotten up here and said, you know, it's not pretty and it's not perfect, but it's us. You know, it's us competing and fighting. And that's what Lamar's doing. The pretty games will be there. They'll be there for Lamar Jackson. You can bet on that. But I'm proud of him right now. I'm really proud of him.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.